Well, good evening.
Good to see you folks tonight. Looking forward to our service tonight and be praying. I'm grateful for those of you who are here tonight. And let's be praying for some of our other church family that might be able to make it here another night this week for our conference and, of course, close out on Sunday. We'll take some time to introduce our missionaries a little bit later in the service. We'll go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we'll have our choir open us up with the We Are Your Church. So let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful for the privilege of being here tonight, Lord, and thank you so much for the provisions and safety you gave our missionaries. They traveled in today, all of them each traveling 8+ hours of driving. Lord, I pray, thank you so much for their protection and bringing them with us. Thank you for the meal, those prepared to work behind the scenes and set up and clean up and serving, Lord, for the meal tonight. We're so grateful for their will and desire to serve their pastor, to serve their church, to serve the missionaries or here, our guests. Now, Father, I pray that you'd meet with us tonight. Bless our choir as they minister to us. Help us, Lord, to determine our hearts and minds now to we are here to worship. Lord, help us to lift our hearts and our voices in song as we worship you together. We ask these things in the wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Jesus was alive, and the message of his death, burial, and miraculous resurrection would change our world forever. Over the next 40 days, Jesus had times of sweet fellowship and teaching with his disciples. Listen to what he told them.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Then, just before he ascended into heaven, Jesus gave this final commission to his followers.
But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
These words were not just intended for his disciples 2,000 years ago. He spoke these words to all of us who follow him. We are his witnesses.
We also have received power to tell others of the glorious gospel, so that whoever believes in him may be ushered into the church of Jesus Christ.
We are his people, the church. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And our Savior is still building his church.
For he has promised, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Come, if you are part of the body of Christ, let us rise up like a mighty army and be faithful to our great King.
He is our Lord,
and we are his church.
Jesus Christ, the living cornerstone.
just a few moments, Brother Harrison is going to come and present his ministry and speak for us. But before he does that, I'm going to go ahead and have all the missionaries introduce themselves to you. Have them do that each night. I know we'll have some folks that can't be here each night. Some folks are here tonight and may be here tomorrow night. So let's go ahead and start with you, Brother Jones, and Brother Davis, and then Brother Harrison. Okay, where's my little buddy, Lillian? Where's she at? She's in the nursery. Okay. She haven't quite come to me yet, but I'm working on it. Small world. Brother Davis is out of North Rockwood Baptist Church, which is one of our supporting churches. We grew up in neighboring counties there in East Tennessee and never really met. He came to North Rockwood in 97. His family, we came through there and picked up support and left in 94. We were back one other time where he was still there or not. We're not sure, but small world. Was glad to hear. And he was very charitable and married a girl from North Carolina. Amen. It's good to have you with us, sister. Brother Harris, why don't you go ahead and introduce your family and then come and speak for us.
I just want to thank you guys for always being a blessing to us. I know you've been a blessing to Pastor Ryan Nez, who's my pastor. You've invested in him, and your investment has affected us. We've been invested by you as well, by investing in Pastor Nez. But we thank you for that so much, for your generosity in that, and helping him out and all that through the years. If you've seen some of those pictures there, you were a part of that. You turned the lights on for us. Amen. Send the light. You sang it just perfectly there. But no, we were in that old building there, and we were there. I enjoyed it so much. I enjoyed just the plumbing we had there. You know, just the fire stove and everything in that old building. And then we got the new building, which we renovated, and it was just been a blessing. God's been using that building, and not even a full year. And God's been moving. The momentum has been great. You know, we've been going along, and just people coming, people that used to go a long time ago who've fallen away are coming back. And new people come in, you know, and a lot of people are coming over. We have a man, his name is, we call him Mr. Kellywood, and he's a medicine man. And he's been coming faithfully since January. And he's been coming, and I've just got a few words from him, just a little bit of words, you know. And but he's been coming faithfully, and we're just praying that that the Lord saves him, and I've been working on that. And there's so many more medicine men out there in that community that we're trying to reach as well. I asked God, I said, God, give me one, and then Kellywood came, you know, and then I said, all right, Lord, give me two, you know, give me three, give them all, you know, I'll take them all. And so it's been a blessing, and as the video goes, you know, just been amazing how we've seen God move throughout the years and throughout. You know, this past just a few months, and God just been using that ministry and using us. And as we've graduated college, and as we started getting in, and you see, I just got ordained this month, April 6th, is when I got ordained as a pastor. And they voted me in, and Pastor Nez is there, and we're excited, and it's just been I cannot say it enough, it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing. And we're there, our vision is just there to, of course, to get everybody saved, to send the light, as you're saying, to give good gospel out, and just to help this church move forward and move along in God's grace, and to give. You know, we would say this all the time, you just got to participate 100%. Just give your all. You know, don't give grudgingly. I always tell our folks that, you know, just give your all. And as we're there, we're moving along. We're growing a little bit there. We do need some things there. And I was reading a scripture the other day, and it was about Paul and Apollos. And I was like, you know, that just sounds like me and Pastor Nez. You know, Pastor Nez, he planted the church. And then I see myself as Apollos, you know, watering the church now. You know, but God gives the increase. And you guys just sang it up here about how the church, you guys are a church together. And in that same scripture, it says that we are laborers together. And as we labor together, we do have some needs that we need in the church there. And as we go forth in the ministry, I've been there for about 2 years, full-time ministry, and it's been pretty tough about with the job situation and the housing situation. We do live... we have a home built that's in Red Valley, Arizona. That's on the borderline of the Mexico and Red Valley. But what we do want to plan to move permanently to Newcomb, New Mexico. And we do want to come out there and live out there. And so we do ask that you pray for us in that, looking for a house in Newcomb, that we can be there full time. I'll tell you this, our people there have not had a full-time pastor there. They've not had a full-time person there that's lived there. They've always had missionaries in the past that's been over the mountain or in a different state that came and visited them or that came and held services. But this time they have an opportunity to get a full-time pastor there, and it's a blessing because they need it. You know, as you've seen some of those kids up there, broken homes is what they come from. Some days they can't even come because their parents went out drinking. Drag them along with them, and we say, hey, you know, where's so-and-so? And say, well, parents went out drinking, they took the kids with them. And, you know, it's homes like that we're trying to reach. It's homes like that we're trying to give the gospel and try to get God in there to help them, you know, because I came from that same broken home, you know, I came from that same alcohol addiction, came from that same thing where only God can take us out of that. And that's where we're spreading the gospel, we're giving them the gospel. And I tell you this, that, you know, as we're there, we want to be there permanently. We want to be there full time. We want to give them our full attention. And as we're there out there, we want to start some ministries there. We already have one lady who wants to start a Bible home study. We have a few of them. We want to start a Bible discipleship class. We want to do all these things. And we do have some van repairs we need fixed. We have a van there we have that needs some things, some fuel pump and tires and such and such. But we want to use that to go out, and because we're already filling up one van, we need the other one to start running so we can fill that one up. There's so many communities across the board there, across the res, that we're trying to reach out there. But I'll tell you this, that we do, most importantly, we just need your prayers. We need your help in the ministry as we want to be full-time ministers there with support. So we're asking for your help and support. As we, because out there, I tell you this, I was telling Brother John here, the job situation out there is not that good. I mean, you have to be related, right, to get a job out there most times. And it's a small community, and all the jobs are filled up. So being a bivocational is pretty tough. You know, I have to do some other things to get income. So we do ask that you partner with us, you know, as we do labor together, and God will give the increase, and God will help us. And we already seen a lot that's happening already. I mean, pastors, you've been out there. I'm in the old building, but now the new building is thriving, and then we're getting visitors. And we I didn't put it on the video, but we recently put up a steeple, and that's been drawing some people in. And people have been coming up. I was just working outside, you know, picking up weeds, you know, kicking some tumbleweeds out of the fence. And people come up, and they say, hey, he's like, is the pastor here? I say, yeah, I'm here. And they say, I need prayer. And then I lead them to the Lord. And it's been amazing. Just a church there near the community, it's just been a light to that community. And so as we're there, we just ask for your help and prayers for us, and your help with financial needs. And we do appreciate you all from all what you've already invested. We thank you so much. Harvest Baptist Church, we thank you. We can't thank you enough. And Pastor Doug, we thank you very much. Yes, sir. So we've been we live in Red Valley. It's an hour away. And so we drive about, I'd say, well, it depends who's driving. It's an hour away, you know. But, you know, it's quite a drive, you know. I know gas is going up and stuff. And we recently had to repair our vehicle. The whole front end, you know, just the shocks and everything. We were just, you know, just bouncing around. And you know how that is with vehicle repairs. And so we got some repairs there done. And it was about a little bit over 1,000, but it wasn't too much, you know. But it had to be done, and then with gas and all that. So it's been a drive back and forth. We did get an RV there. So we have that on site now. So we've just been going there and then just move around. Everything there is a drive. I mean, everything, we go soul winning. It takes a long time soul winning, because we'd have to go down a dirt road, and then we had to turn around from that dirt road. It's 10 minutes down a dirt road. Then we have to go to another dirt road, and then it's like 20 miles that way. And then it's always the homes that are like way back in the rural areas that want to get picked up. The ones that got the bounciest road. And so, you know, that's what we deal with out there is a lot of vehicle issues, maintenance issues. And we do have some projects coming up. We do have a septic tank that needs to be put in as well. Forgot to mention that. We're getting a baptistry that's going to be delivered to us. But the plumbing situation there is still just a big old hole there. And I tell people, we'll just fill it with water. We'll just have a swimming pool, you know. We'll just, but no, so we'll have the first swimming pool in Newcomb. How's that? No. But you see, we still need help with that. I think I've been quoted $3,000 to $5,000 on that. And then I believe it was about $1,000 for the van repairs for our church van. So it'd be a blessing. And thank you guys again so much for having us here tonight and allowing us to come and present Pastor Doug Cook.
All right, here in just a moment, we'll take up a love offering tonight. I'll give you some more information in just a moment. Then the ladies are going to come sing for us, and then Brother Jones will come preach for us tonight and give us a good missions challenge, as he will each night. And look forward to hearing from the Davis family tomorrow. Now, we'll be taking up a love offering each night. As I know, some folks will be here every night. Some folks can't be here each night. But all love offerings will go toward the missions conference and the love offering travel expenses for our missionaries. And so those that are involved in counting, no loose plate. Anything that's not an envelope goes to the missionaries on Sunday morning as well, as far as a loose plate offering. So unless it's designated as your tithe and offering, all offerings today, Thursday, Friday, as well as Sunday morning and Sunday night will go toward the mission conference expenses with travel expenses and love offering for the missionaries. I know some of them travel a little further. I think Brother Harrison drove 8 hours to be here. Brother Davis, how far of a drive? About 8 hours as well. Brother Jones, about the same as well. Your drive now? From your last place.
Oh, my last place?
Yes. No, you can't count North Carolina and all the gallivanting around. The last place you slept. No, the last place you slept to get here. Right. But the last place that you slept, where you got here?
About
14 hours. Good. So I know they all come a little bit of a ways. He's already getting into evangelistically speaking mode and tell how far he drove. But you got to watch these missionaries. But no, we want to make sure we help them with their travel expenses and as well as a love offering, as the Lord allows us, maybe some of the needs that will be shared each night as well. So Brother Kevin, you come tonight. And again, all offerings during the week will go to the missionaries. And Sunday morning, Sunday night, anything that's not designated as your tithe and offering will go toward missions as well. All right, Brother Kevin, you ask God's blessings on our offering tonight.
Heavenly Father, we are so grateful. We are so very grateful that you have encouraged these missionaries to come and be with us tonight. We are so blessed. And this is indeed your church. We are your children, your sons and daughters. The honor is all ours. And we are so glad that they made the sacrifice to drive this far just to be with us for this short time. And so, Lord, at this time, we take up a small offering that we hope will bless them to help them continue their ministry and spread your gospel throughout the world. We pray these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen.
The servant of the master bid them to come in. The table was ready, the feast would soon begin. But there was still room in the master's house that night. So he sent his servant out again to search with all his might. And he said, go into the highways, seeking for the lost. Search through the city streets, find them at all cost. Look through the hedges, though the lights be dim. Bring their souls to the master's house and find a soul for him. The day has finally come, God's called his children home. The angel choirs are singing, Christ is on the throne. A quiet fills the air as Christ begins to speak. Where are those crowns to place at my feet? You've got to go into the highways, seeking for the lost. Search through the city streets, find them at all cost. Look through the hedges, though the lights be dim. Bring their souls to the master's house and find a soul for him. It's up to you and me now, Christ has given all. He bled there on Calvary, our sins on him would fall. So what will be your answer on that judgment day? We have crowns to give, oh, hear the master say. You've got to go into the highways, seeking for the lost. Search through the city streets, find them at all cost. Look through the hedges, though the lights be dim. Bring your souls to the master's house and find a soul for him. You've got to go into the highways, seeking for the lost. Search through the city streets, find them at all cost. Look through the hedges, though the lights be dim. Bring your souls to the master's house and find a soul for him. Bring their souls to the master's house and find a soul for him.
Well, amen. It's good to be back in Goodyear, Arizona. And appreciate the goodness of the Lord and his mercy on our travels to get here. We've traveled out west a pretty good bit already. We've delivered a baptistry to a missionary and some other things and Bibles for Rock of Ages Prison Ministry out in Utah. I've got Bibles for them that we'll be delivering. And, of course, the most important thing is called cheer wine. And they don't care about anything else, but you did bring my cheer wine, right? And I'm like, yeah, I got your cheer wine. Well, they need to know. They got to get introduced to that. I don't drink it, but all I know is they like it out here. So we have to bring some of that. And I'll have to bring some more next year. I found that out here just being in here tonight. Yeah, well, I call it the Baptist wine. It is just a cold drink, and it is RC Cola back at home, and it's just a regular old soda. That's all it is. It's not alcohol. I'm teetotaler against alcohol, and why they called it cheer wine, I have no idea. But that's the South for you, and they got a sense of humor sometimes. But it is really just an honor. I've been excited about this meeting and appreciate that presentation there. What you're doing on the Navajo Indian Reservation. You don't have to go across the world to see what a third world country is. It's right here in America, and it's right there where you want to see what socialism does to a people. Go on an Indian reservation, and they call them the res, is what they call it, but there's plenty of them around. But you go look. I've worked on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation there in the Lakota Sioux with Ken Trivett, and he come off the field last year, and it's been turned over to another man. But they live in dirt floors. Their roofs leak, and alcohol has destroyed that place, along with gambling and all the casinos, and they rob from the poor, and they don't want them to do no better than what they're doing. It's a control thing, but they need the gospel just as much as we need it today here in Goodyear. So I appreciate you going to those folks. God loved them. He died on the cross for them. And it just takes somebody to go to them. So I appreciate that presentation. And you're right, them children, man, they'll jerk at your heartstrings. And I've seen them where they've walked in and didn't have a matching pair of shoes, you know. And been door-to-door visitation on some of the reses. And you got to take some. They love dum-dums. And you got to buy a big old bag of dumb suckers. And you go out there and they'll come to the car and you got to have them ready when they come because they know what you got in that car. And they'll come and as long as you'll pick them up. And when Ken Trivet did his bus ministry, it took him 2 hours one way. And he'd travel. He'd get up early in the morning, travel on them old back dirt roads, and you'd bump. And I mean, them buses, they take a beating out there. And they'll go out there, and they'll go get them, and then they'll bring them in, and they'll get stuck because you got mud season, and it's the worst thing you ever seen for it's worse than snow. It's slick, but they want to come. They'll be in the best that they got, and some of the best services I've ever had has been on a church service on a reservation and just watching God work. So thank you for what you're doing. I mean that. And worthy of support and other aspects as well. Well, Pastor, thank you for having us. And I've been praying about what to do. And I know that some probably know a little bit about missions giving, but I've been praying about how to start this meeting. And I'm just going to break the ice. Can I just go ahead and break it? Can I do that? Missionaries need your money. There, we'll get that out in the open, okay? We're just going to just put it out there. But it's more than money. Missions is, money is a part of it. You got to have it to get out there on the end of the field. But it is an aspect. But I want to deal with a subject tonight, and after tonight, then we'll move on into the giving of faith promise. But I want to go to Malachi chapter number 3. I want to look at tithing. And you say, we're already tithing. Well, I'm not saying you're not, and I'm not accusing anybody here in Harvest that you're not tithing. I'm not here to say you are or anything like that. And if you are, it's just going to be a gentle reminder. What opened my eyes was last year back in North Carolina where I live. I preached this missions conference, have for years. Got on a Wednesday night. I go Wednesday and I usually end either Friday or Saturday and then have somebody else come in on Sunday. And that Wednesday night, God says, preach on tithing. And I argued with God. I was like, why do you want me to do that? And so I went in there and I preached on tithing on that Wednesday night. And I gave a couple weeks and I called the pastor. I said, well, how'd your faith promise come out? He said, well, faith promise stayed the same. I said, wonderful. He said, but my tithe went up. And he said, what my people were doing is they were giving their tithe to missions. That's not what you're to do. Tithe is for the local church, for your local church. And I want to look at that, God being our helper. So if you found the book of Malachi, it's the last book of the Old Testament, just right before the book of Matthew. You usually have people stand, Pastor, or you just use sit. What do you normally do? Some of both. I'll just let you sit tonight. Here in Malachi chapter number 3, verse number 8 says this. Will a man, I want you to listen to these words now. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. Watch the words. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And then God's going to answer you. In tithe and offerings, ye are cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now he's talking to the nation of Israel. Verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Prove me now, herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vines cast her fruits before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. I want to look at this thought, God being my helper here just for a little while tonight, looking at giving through the windows of heaven. God is going to give us that aspect of how we're supposed to tithe. And I want to look at that, of God being our helper. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful, Lord, of the good day you've given us today. Lord, your mercy and your grace is so evident on our travels. Lord, you've kept over us, watched over us. Lord, you brought us all here tonight. God, you fed us, you clothed us. God, I thank you for how you've answered prayer in my own personal family just here today. And Lord, we're grateful for that. Lord, you're a good God, and I thank you for all that you're doing. Now, touch your messenger. Lord, I know preaching on money, it's not always an easy thing. But Lord, it is needful at times. God, it's in your word, and so we have to deal with it. So, God, I'm asking, would our hearts be receptive to what you have for us, that we would not close our hearts and our minds to the scriptures, and, Lord, we'd be like David said, well, God, would you open up my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, we want to do that tonight. We love you and thank you for all that you do. Help me, I do pray, and we'll praise you for it, and we ask in thy name, amen and amen. I was reading just the other day of a guy. He had a story about he was talking to his church and they were needing some money. And he says, you know, the person that puts the most money in the offering, you're going to be able to pick out three hymns. Well, they took up the offering and they brought the offering plates up. And the pastor saw there was $1,000 by one person in that offering plate. And he started to say thank you to that individual, and it was an elderly lady in the church. And so he brought her up and says, I told you now, since you give the most out of everybody here, you get to pick the three hymns. She stood up and says, I'll take him, him, and him. Sometimes our giving has a wrong motive, doesn't it? And we think that if we give, we can do just like, you know, I get to pick what I want. But God has a prescription for how we're to give. So God has that law of God's requirement when we see Malachi. It's starting here where he says, will a man rob God? And God is dealing with that aspect of giving. And you'll notice in verse number 8, he says, will a man rob God? And yet ye have robbed me, because wherein ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? Then God answers them in tithes and offerings. Can I say God has that prescription of our giving? He has a specific measure of giving. When you look at the word tithe, that means a deca or a tenth. It's a 10% is what it is. And may I say this, when you give your 10%, it's not after taxes. You give your 10% before taxes. Amen. That's biblical. And so you give to what you make before taxes, and it is a tenth of what you're to do. And God has given us that demand by God. It is what God commands us to give. And may I say that tithe is not a suggestion. Something that I think sometimes there's people just take it as a suggestion that you just, well, I'm going to give. I'm getting ahead of myself. But God is commanding us as a church, as a born-again believer, that he is commanding us to give 10% of what we make. And that's what God is asking us to do. And when we tithe, we are acknowledging that we have come, what we have has come from the Lord, and that we would not have what we have if it was not for the Lord. I mean, the reason I have what I have is because God gave it to me. Everything that I have is God-given. The suit I'm wearing, somebody give it to me. Everything that I have is given by churches that support my wife and I to allow us to stay on the road like we get to do, and it's an honor to do that. But God give that to me. And what you have is God-given. I mean, what the money you have and the house you have and the car you have, you got to realize it was the good grace of God that you have that. I mean, that's just a blessing of God, really. And so as we look at that, we see that what we have is because God gave it to us. But there is that other type of giving. He talks about that tenth, but he also says offerings. And that is that free will offering and giving more than what is required or demanded. When we took up the offering tonight, can I tell you what that is? That's what you call a free will offering. Appreciate the pastor. He was telling about your tithe and offerings, about putting it in that envelope and marking it that way, but anything else is for the missionaries or for the missions conference to pay for the missions conference. And there is a distinguishing difference in that. God is dealing with our tithes and our offerings. And so we see that is something beyond our tithes. That's what that special measure of giving. But I also want you to know that there is that deserved by God. And when we give over tithes, we're showing God how grateful we are for what we have. I mean, when he come up and talked about the Navajo and the reses and all the needs out there, I mean, when they're showing them children, you just want to reach for your wallet and give them about everything you got. Because it's a worthy work. It stirred, I was sitting back there, man, it was stirring my heart. I really was. And at Vacation Bible School and the building and how God was working on that. And I was trying to see if there was anybody there I knew. I was just enjoying it. And when things like that and God stirs your heart, you'd be willing to give to anything like that. That's what an offering is. And so he's saying in tithes and offerings, and so many of us, we just sort of hold back on some things. But here we see the placement of our giving, and we're going somewhere. Because you come down to verse number 10, he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. And when you look at that storehouse during the time of this time of the Old Testament, you'd have to realize it was a place of a treasury. It's described a place of a receptacle, a room, a place where things were stored for safekeeping and preservation. And in the case that is before us, the storehouse was a special storage area in the sanctuary in the temple during those days. And we see that it is that place even in the days of Hezekiah for depositing tithes and offering of the people. But in the New Testament economy, it's a local church. The church that you belong to. Can I say my tithe does not come to Harvest Baptist Church? My tithe goes to Anchor Baptist Church. But if you're a member of Harvest Baptist Church, your tithe goes to Harvest Baptist Church. There's a radio preacher. He's dead and gone. I love him. I mean, he's a John. Some of y'all may recognize what I was telling him. I'm not going to tell you his name. But he'd get on there and he says, send your tithe to me. And I was like, no, don't do it. Because the tithe doesn't belong to the radio preacher. Your tithe belongs to your local church. That's where it comes. That 10% of either you do it once a week or every other week. Mine is once a month. I get paid once a month. So the first check we write at the beginning of the month is our tithe and faith promise. That's the very first check. And it goes to the Anchor Baptist. We have to give it to our daughters now because we don't even go to church. I attend Anchor. I'm a tithe member. And some people think I'm a visitor at my home church. I was there not too long ago, and a guy says, you're attending one of the greatest churches in the county. I said, wonderful. He said, I appreciate you coming. I said, oh, it's good to be here. He said, you'll like us. You'll really like us. I said, oh, well, I'm sure I will. He just kept telling me. And then my pastor said, good to have Brother Jones home. Come up and give an update of where you've been. And I was like, pastor, of all services, why'd you ask me to do that? I was having fun with this guy, you know. Can I say that my tithe, it goes to my local church, and that's where it goes to. And so we see there's that placement of our giving and that storehouse tithe, and it simply means that we bring our tithe to our local church. And when we do that, our tithes and our offerings of where I give is defined by the commandment to bring them to my local church. Can I say there's the purpose of our giving? When God divided up the land back in the children of Israel, and I don't have time to deal with all this back in Numbers, there was the priest and the priestly and the tribes. They had daily responsibility in the tabernacle. And Lord help me here with my words tonight. Well, my mind has just left me for some reason. But how they were supported was by the people of the freewill offering, the offerings they brought to those priests. That's what kept them able to do. And they were able to bring that tithe to the priests. And so we see that they carried out their responsibility of the tabernacle and the temple because of the tithe. Can I tell you how you keep your pastor to be able to do what he's doing? That tithe is what pays his salary out of that. Y'all okay with that? That's how you do that. Your number one missionary is your pastor that's sitting in front of you. Church is supposed to take care of him. Now, I'm not going to get in the financial aspect of this church. That is not my responsibility, what you do. But I do want you to know your tithe is what pays the salary of the pastor. And I don't know what he gets or what he doesn't get. That's none of my business. Your tithe is what pays your light bill. Your tithe is what's keeping that air conditioner on. And thank you for that, by the way. Say amen. And the heat. Your tithe is what does other things for other special things in the church. Can I say, that's what your tithe does. That's what it's for. And so we see there is that aspect of that similar fashion of our tithes and offering. It is to provide for your pastor and to provide for this local church and to pay the bill of this local church. And I don't know if there's a mortgage or anything on this church, but our tithes and offerings were used to maintain this local church. That's what your tithes does do. I know some churches use tithe to pay missions, and I'm not here to debate that. We're going to look at faith promise given later this week. But as we get into this, you got to do that. But may I say, there's that lack of giving that God rebukes. I say, when it comes down in verse number 8, will a man rob God? God is rebuking the tribe of Israel. It's who he's talking to. He is rebuking that tribe, and he's talking to the tribe of Israel about all the things that are there. And as he's talking to them, and he's saying, will a man rob God? He's rebuking them. He's coming down on them. Just like a dad would scold a son, or a daughter would scold a daughter. God is talking to the tribe of Israel and say, will a man rob God? And now, when you think about how he's saying this, I didn't really understand. I've understood what he was saying, but I never really understood it completely until I started reading and just started looking at some Middle Eastern culture and things of that nature. When what is the meaning about will a man rob God? Has your mom ever come up to you? My mom, I remember one time she did this to me when she says, you know, you disappointed me today. The day my mama did that, I begged her. I said, I would have rather you beat me than told me that. To be honest with you. That's probably one of the most hurtful things my mama ever said to me is when she said, son, I'm disappointed in you today. That crushed my world. Can I tell you what God is saying to the tribe of Israel when he says, will a man rob God? Can I tell you what he's saying? I can't believe you do that to me. Could you imagine God coming down to you and says, you know, I can't imagine that you would even think about robbing me. That's really what it's saying. When he says, will a man rob God? He's saying, you know, I can't believe that you would even consider doing this to me. And as good as God has been to all of us, that we would even consider holding back from God. And you say, well, I don't have plans on robbing God. But evidently the tribe of Israel did. And God was dealing with them in the aspect of that. He was like, he was surprised. As good as I've been to you, the tribe of Israel, and as good as I've treated you, and yet you have the audacity to rob me. I say, there's people in our churches, our local churches, all over this country. Maybe you're a born-again believer and you've never had tithing been brought up to you. Maybe you're just freshly born again, but I find out that as I'm going along in this journey, that there's been people who's been saved 10, 20, 30 years don't understand what really true biblical tithing is. And yet there's people in our local churches that are robbing God on a weekly basis. All over. And I've told some pastors, I said, you need to teach your people how to give. They need to know how to tithe. And I know it's a process. I do know that. But it can't be a 20-year process. Say amen. They need to learn how to give. And I've been preaching at some churches out west long enough now that I go back. I'm going back to another one in Landers, Wyoming. And when I first went, they didn't give me anything. But now he says, my people are learning how to give. And I don't like taking their money, but he has to force me. He says, it's not much, but please take it, because my people at my church want to do this. Teaching them how to give. And now they're catching on to it. Yet there's people in a lot of our churches that are robbing God in our day. And God is saying, you know, your lack of giving is so surprising in our day. I was reading about a man. He had this story about a well-worn-out dollar bill. This bill was distressed, and I know money don't talk to each other, but he said there was a $20 bill arrived at the same place he was. That dollar and that $20 bill got to talking. That $20 bill says, where have you been in your life? And that $20 bill says, well, I've been in ball games. I've been at races. I've been here, and he gave a whole list of everything that he's been, and that $20 bill looked at that $1 bill. He says, well, where have you been? He said, well, I've been in a Methodist church. I've been in a Baptist church. He said, I've been in a Lutheran church. And then that $20 bill says, what's church? Say amen. That one was a hard one. I read that one. I was like, I don't like that one at all. But as we look at this aspect of this giving, can I say there's things that we are that we're robbing God, and through our lifetime we have lacked on this. And how serious is that lack of giving when we rob God? Watch what he says here in verse number 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, because ye have said, wherein have we robbed thee? And then God answers in tithes and offerings. Look at verse number 9. This is what he says: you're cursed. And I say, when we don't tithe like we're supposed to, God says you are cursed. When he's talking about you're cursed with a curse. I mean, that is something of when we are spiritually robbing God and what we have. He says you are cursed, not just cursed, but with a curse. When how serious it is not to give to God's command, God's saying you're cursed with a curse. What is that saying of what God's describing? He's saying, when he's talking about this in Malachi, and that we are cursed with a curse, it's not a voodoo curse. It's not like a black magic curse or a mystical curse. It's just God takes his blessings off of you. And I don't know why we want God's blessings off of us. Do you? And yet there's people that are going through their life and they'll say, well, I'll get caught up tithing when things start straightening up. Or somebody will say, well, I'll get caught up from withholding from God when things get better in my life. I've actually had people says, I can't afford to tithe. Well, I'll tell you this, you can't afford not to. I've dealt with people and things went upside down, and just because your world goes upside down does not mean you're not tithing. Tithing people have problems. Amen. There's things that come against us unexpectedly. I remember, I think it was last year, year before, I don't know, my radiator went out on one of my trucks, and I was coming back from South Carolina, Florida, and I got to the South Carolina, North Carolina state line, and my dash lit up and says, you have low coolant. So I pulled over, and sure enough, I had low coolant. And I looked, I said, well, there's a little bit left in there. I think I can make it to my mechanic, which he wasn't too far from up the road. And I got to my mechanic, and I went in there, and he come back. He said, I really hate to tell you this. He says, you need a new radiator. I said, wonderful. I said, when can you put it in? He says, when you leaving? I said, tomorrow. I'm heading to Montana tomorrow. He said, do what? I said, I'm leaving to Montana tomorrow. And he hummed around. He said, I even hate to tell you how much it is. And I looked at him. I said, well, we can have this little discussion back and forth. I still got to leave tomorrow. And I says, and I says, either you're going to tell me or you're not. I said, but I got to get a radiator in. He says, Brother Jones, he says, and he told me, he says, you're going to have a new radiator. And he told me a couple other things I'm going to have. And he says, you know, this is going to cost you right about $1,800. I said, wonderful. And I walked outside and I just put my hands up in the airs. And I said, God, your truck needs a radiator and a few other things, and you need to pay this guy $1,800. He said, that's sort of bold. Well, I knew it didn't break down because I was not tithing. Say amen. There's things happen not because we're wrong with God, it just happens. The next meet, I was in Montana, and then I went to another church, and that pastor, while I was out west for about a month, that one pastor said, what do you need? I said, nah. I said, my radiator went out, and he said, how much you need? I said, God's got it. And he said, all right. And he went up there and took up a love offering, and when he did, he took up $3,200. And I said, God, you paid your bill off pretty good. I said, I'm going to pay MasterCard tomorrow. I appreciate that, a great deal. But there's people says, well, when things straighten up, I'll get caught up on my tithes. But may I say, there's people robbing God, and God will get his tithe either in a flat tire, medical bill, you just name it. And that does happen. I don't want to be cursed of God with a curse of a curse. I want the blessings of God in my life. I need God to do that. And so we see that there is a, how serious is that lack of giving? But may I say, there is that life of giving that God rewards. And can I say, I want the reward of God. And can I ask you, Harvest Baptist Church, You want the reward of God on this church? I do. I don't even intend here, but I promise you, I want this church to succeed with God's blessing. I don't want to see a church fail. I don't want to see a church go through. Will a church go through hardship? Yes, they will. But I was watching your video. You know what was amazing? You're talking about how you had a building, and God, I don't know how to. I'd love to sit down and talk to you about it. And now you got another building. But you know, in that picture, you know what I saw? Roof coming off. Evidently, you got some new shingles. And you had chairs. It looked like Larry Adams' chairs, what it looked like. I don't know if that's where he got them. Now you got a baptistry coming. It tells me that somewhere that you're doing what you're supposed to, and God is blessing your church on the Navajo Indian Reservation. Can I tell you what they have? The blessings of God. Means they're doing right somewhere. Somebody's giving right. Somebody's tithing. And I'm sure he's not a hireling and he's not robbing God, because God would take his hand off that ministry in a heartbeat. But God is blessing that church. There is a reward in that church. I'm getting ahead of myself. But there's people that are giving, and there is reward. Watch what verse 10, it says, bring all your tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. Then he says, prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven. That's plural. I misquoted that quite a few times, just a window. No, it's windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I say there is that reward and providing of God in our giving, and this implies that when God gives to us, and some don't give because their fearfulness, some don't give because their faithlessness, but may I say there's those that do give. God is challenging us to prove him. God says, why don't you just try me? I've been trying it for years. You can ask my wife. I got squirrel money in my wallet. Y'all know what squirrel money is? It's money I tucked away in a hole in my wallet. And last year, a guy gave me a $100 bill, and I was in a meeting, and God says, give that $100 bill to that preacher. He was an evangelist, traveled. I went up, shook his hand. He said, what's that for? I said, tank gas. I said, I don't know. God told me to give it to you. And I give it to him. And then the next day, there was another man come to me. He said, God, he woke me up in the middle of the night. I couldn't sleep all night. And he says, I got to give this to you. I said, okay. And he shook my hand. You know what it was? $100 bill. Stuck it in my wallet. I give away that $100 bill 5 times. I'd give it away and God would give it back. And now it's up not to 100. It's $300. You can ask my daughters before I left. Somebody give me some money before I left. And I said, well, look at that. Because I gave away my last 100. And while I was preaching, I just reminded God. I said, God, I you haven't given back my $300 yet. And you want to give me? He gave me $300 before I left. And my daughter says, well, you got it back, Daddy. I said, what? No. I said, you can't outgive God. And I say, God said, prove me. Try me out. See what I will do. I don't know why we're so scared of just seeing what God will do in our lives. I've been at this for a little while, not as long as some, but as I've watched this, and I've watched God come through time and time again, and I stuck my neck out earlier this year for about $5,000 worth of sound equipment for myself personally, and I didn't have it, and all of a sudden it just came in all in one swoop, and I was like, and I showed my girls, I said, see, I says, you'll never outgive God. I said, it's just amazing to watch God work. I said, you keep tithing and you keep giving a faith promise. I said, God just does it over and over and over again. And what I'm doing, I'm trying to instill it in my 2 daughters that you just can't outgive God. He said, prove me. Remember when my daughter, I don't know, I'm getting ahead of myself on this faith promise thing, but I love it. I remember my daughters when they were young, I didn't give them an allowance. When because I thought a roof over their head, electricity is through the wall, food on the table, clothes in their closet was pretty good allowance. You can do it however you want to. I'm sorry, son, I ruined your allowance, I'm pretty sure. I just killed your life. Like, well, don't listen to this preacher, Mama. Please don't. And I remember one year they come to me and said, Daddy, we want to do what you're doing. I said, do what? They said, we want to try Faith Promise. I said, you don't make no money. They said, we know. But you told us to try God. I want to try. I said, give me the thing before you turn it in so I can make sure it's not something stupid. And so they turned it in with $60 for the whole year. That was in January. We were sitting at a restaurant, and a guy come to me and says, I don't know what I'm doing. He said, God told me to give this to you, and it was a $10 bill. He just said on the table, and my girls are smiling from ear to ear. And I'm like, after the guy left, I said, what are you smiling about? I said, Daddy, you know that's ours. I said, how do you know that's yours? He said, well, you told us to pray it in, and we've been praying. I said, well, how do you know that? Daddy hasn't been praying. No, Daddy, you know it's ours. You know it is. I said, why are you so adamant of that $10 bill? They said, that's all we lack. God's made our faith promise, Daddy, just like you said he would. We proved him. I don't know what my girls give away now, and their tithes and their faith promise. May I say, God says, prove me. Not only did he say, prove me, watch what he said. He said here in verse number 10, prove me now. Not later, now. Herewith, I love that. Herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Can I say, when you look at this, we see that God will give to, he tells us to give first, and he tells us that he will open us a window in heaven after he said, prove me. And God says, I will open means to open wide. God says, I'm not just going to crack it. He says, I'm going to open it as wide as I can. And he says, I'm not just going to open one window. He says, I'm going to open windows in heaven. God has some, he's got blessings for us, but the problem is, we're the ones that keep it shut. Because we're not willing to do what God told us to do. He said, prove me. And he says, and see if I will not open a window in heaven. For who? For you. It's personal for you. You say, preacher, if I do this, I'm going to be a millionaire. No, I'm not saying that. But I do know one thing. God will meet every need that you have. It won't be in your time and how you think it's going to happen. It may be a handshake. It might be an envelope that don't have a return address that shows up in your mailbox, and you don't know how it even gets there. Or it might be some other way that God will bless you. Can I say, God says, I will open a window for you. And he says he'll pour out. Do you know what pour out means? He means to empty it. God says, when I pour out, there's going to be nothing lacking. He says, I'm not going to leave just a little bit in there. I'm not going to leave a portion in there. He says, and I will empty. He says, I'm just going to turn it up and I'm going to pour it out. I'm going to empty it all. I say, that's what I want from God. Now, I don't give to get, but I do give to get to give. I got a young lady. I was at a missions conference back in January, February. And I was just talking about giving. She come to me, tears in her eyes. She give me a $20 bill. I went to her dad. I said, is that okay? I said, yeah. She give it to you? I said, yeah. But I said, but boy, she's tore up about it. I said, yeah, do what you want with it. I said, okay. I said, I'm going to give it away. When God gives it back to me, I'm going to give it back to her. I said, she give by faith. I'm going to show her what her faith will do. And there was a young man who's got a special needs. He's starting a special needs camp in the Philippines for special needs people. Well, that draws at my heartstrings because my nephew's special needs and my sister's special needs. So when he started that, I'm like, and that boy is special needs. And that just ripped my heart out. I was like, boy, we got to help them and people. Because they said nobody's helping them over in the Philippines. They just let them live the way they live. And I gave them that $20. Next day, I had a guy give me $50, two 20s and a 10. I got that two 20 and a 10 in my wallet waiting to see that young lady. You know what? She's going to get that $50 back. I'm going to prove to her, giving to God always works. God will pour you out a blessing. Not only will he pour it out, he says, there won't be that. But look at what he says. You can't. And he says that he's going to empty himself out. Watch what he says. That, and there shall be not be room enough to receive it. That's the blessings of God. I'm going to ask you two questions. I got a couple illustrations. I'm done. My question to you is, do you want the curse of God, or do you want the blessings of God? If you're going to do faith promise, can I say this? You got to tithe right first. Your tithe doesn't go to faith promise. Your tithe goes to a local church. Your local church is to take care of, your tithe takes care of this local church. That's what it does. Can I say there's people who have done this, and God has blessed them greatly for it. I was reading about a man, William Colgate. You ever know Colgate? Colgate and Paul Molliv. He started his corporation out in his business, and he said to God, I must be faithful to you. Mr. Colgate began to tithe to God when he started his business. And as he began to tithe, God began to bless him. And he became an example through his family. And he started, now not only did he do the Colgate Palmolive, but may I say, this man was also of other businesses. Henry Crowell, founder of Quaker Oats. William Proctor, founder of Procter & Gamble. Wallace Johnson, founder of Holiday Inns. Robert Welch, father of Welch Juices. John D. Rockefeller, founder of Standard Oil. Every one of them was very public about their fact that they gave to God first the 10% of their business and off their income. When Rockefeller, when he gave his children their allowance, he always reminded them to do their 10% when they went to church. I'm not saying that God will make you a millionaire, but I am saying this, that God will bless you beyond measure if you'll do your tithe. Before we can even go any further in this faith promise, and I know preach on tithe, it's not an easy thing to do, and I'm not the pastor of the church, but I do want to know, if we're going to do faith promise, this has to be right first. Can't go no further with it. Just like that church I told you about, good standing church, I mean strong independent Baptist church, it's been a staple in the community for years and still is. Strong mission program, good congregation. And yet just last year, I preached on tithe. And that pastor says, and of all the churches, I never would have thought that. He said, my faith promise stayed the same, but my tithe went up. Now the church is, I went back this year and just got done preaching before I come here, their faith promise. And you should see how God's blessed them in the last year. They have a food ministry. They had to build on the food ministry because God was opening the window with food and they couldn't even contain. And then there was a company that had frozen meat and they were trying to give it away and couldn't find nobody. And God built them a $100,000 portion of a building with freezers. Give to them free. And now they're helping the community not only with food, but with frozen meat. And he looked at me this time. He said, Brother Jones, he said, when my people last year learned how to tithe right, he said, I can't explain it. He says, it was like God just opened the doors of heaven on our church. And he says, and look what God's done. He said, they roofed it, and the guy that roofed it took the bill, and he done this with it. He just ripped it up. He says, paid in full. When they put up the metal building to put that freezer and all that in there, they come up to him and says, doing this one for free. And it was $100,000. He said, that freezer you see sitting there? I said, yeah. He said, God give that to us too. It's a big walk-in freezer. He said, I can't explain it. But when my people started tithing right, God opened the windows of heaven. Can I say to the Harvest Baptist Church here, Goodyear, Arizona, God is no respecter of person. He could do something here, and I'm not saying you're not tithing. Please, your building is beautiful. Paint's beautiful. The outside is gorgeous. Your brown grass out there, them rocks, I need to get some of that and take it back to North Carolina. I really like that. But I look at the facility and the fellowship hall and listen to the excitement of how the prophet's chamber and all that God's done here, but how much more could God do? If we would all just do our part in our tithing, God said, prove me. Prove me. Try me. If you'll do that, then you'll see. He said, I'll open the windows of heaven. Yeah, a year ago, I can't explain it, but the truck I had before the one I got now got struck by lightning. Sitting in my driveway, fried every module in it. Insurance wouldn't total it, and I was begging God. I said, God, let them total it. They didn't. And I've always wanted a garage at my house, but I never could afford one. My wife says, why your truck? I said, why not my truck? She said, yeah, but that's what you travel in. I said, God must have something better. I don't know. I said, I'm not going to worry about it. Took them 12 months to the date to fix it. Because they couldn't find parts, but the insurance wouldn't total it. Said it was worth too much money. And so I got it fixed, and a guy comes to me and says, just put a price on that truck. He says, I want it. I said, that thing's been struck by lightning. It's going to have demons in it from the day it dies. I said, you don't want that. He said, no, I want it. I said, you don't want that. He said, name your price. So I give him a price. He was a concrete man. I said, I tell you what I'll do. I said, if you'll pour me a concrete pad, I'll knock so much off of it. And he said, done. Can I tell you what I have in that place? A garage. Paid in full. It's all sitting up there at the house. What I thought was bad, God turned it around and made it a blessing. My truck didn't get struck by lightning because I was robbing God. My truck got struck by lightning because God had other plans. I've watched God do things like that through our lives time and time again. You'll never outgive God, but you just need to prove Him. Can I ask you tonight, and I'm done, Pastor, you come. Can I ask you tonight? I know it's sort of an odd message, but we'll get into giving tomorrow night on Faith Promise. I can't wait. How's your tithing here tonight? Really, I mean, honestly. Are you doing a tenth? Or are you only doing it sporadically? And I know I'm probably preaching to the cream of the crop. But may I say, there's people who don't have it all right. And God just says, try me. Do your tenth. Bring it to the storehouse. Let's see what God will do at harvest when everybody starts tithing like we're supposed to. God will bless it. He promised He would. Pastor, would you come? Let us stand, every head bowed as the pastor comes and as he gives the invitation as he see fit.
We'll have a word of prayer in just a moment. Miss Marlene will play as soon as she is ready. And we'll just take just a moment for a verse or two of invitation. I'd ask you to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, am I giving as you would have me to give? Lord, am I not only just giving the tenth as you asked for, as you've heard your pastor say many times, a tithe is a debt you owe, and an offering is a seed that you sow. Are you giving unto the Lord that which you owe Him, and then trusting Him to allow you to be able to give above that, to missions, to any other projects, or just because, Lord, I just want to give extra? You just take a moment, you pray, and ask the Lord to reveal to you, to show you, are you giving in the way that the Lord would have you to give through the ministries of Harvest Baptist Church, that we might see souls saved here as well as around the world. Just take just a moment and pray. If the Lord has spoken your heart anyway, whether you're standing there, if you want to come to the altar and pray, you just do what the Lord has you to do just in these next couple of verses. Father, you know the needs that are represented, and I just pray, Lord, that you'd bless and speak to the hearts of your people. Lord, help us, Lord, to be obedient. And as our dear brother said, very often Wednesday night is a cream of the crop, and many are so faithful to give. But Father, are we consistently faithful to give that which we owe? But Lord, are we also faithful to give that which you've impressed upon us to do? So Father, help us to be obedient to you in every aspect and every walk of our life, we ask in Jesus' name. Just another moment. All right, for us, hearts and minds are clearly this way. We'll be dismissed in just a moment. Just bear with me just for a moment. You know, when it comes to giving, all blessings are not financial. And I've got a confession to make. I got a text message toward the latter part of the preaching, and I couldn't resist. Shame on me. And it was a text from some friends, Jamie and Abby, who didn't think they'd be able to have kids. I got a text tonight. They just had number four. It's been a little while since we've seen them. Last time we saw them, it was two, and now it's four. Blessings come, and not just in finances. It comes with things going a little further. God blessing financially. It could be a lower electric bill, unexpected gift of tires, or someone offering to change your oil, or whatever. It comes in so many different varieties. And many years ago, I learned a lesson. I was 19 years old, and I learned the principle of tithing and being disobedient. I knew to tithe. And maybe I was 19 years old. Michelle and I have been married a short period of time. We were at Atkins Place in Killeen, Texas, where I was stationed at Fort Hood. Our car broke down. Carburetor had to be rebuilt. I didn't have the money to do it. I didn't know what I was going to do. And I had already made up my mind I was going to go ahead and not tithe this month and buy that carburetor kit and talk to the NCO that I worked for as a young soldier. And he said, you know, Cook, I'm off this weekend. Why not just come down and get that carburetor set for you? I'll rebuild your carburetor for you. I'll pick you up on Friday. I'll rebuild your kit. Get the kit, I'll get it. You can pay me back later. And, you know, to the penny, when I decided to the penny, that carburetor kit cost to the penny what my tithe was supposed to have been. And the Lord smote me after we got through working on the car, rebuilding the kit, get ready to go. And I looked at my NCO and I said, I need that receipt. I need to pay you. He said, yes, you do. Let me see if I can find it. It's the back of my car. He gave me the receipt, and it was to the penny what I was supposed to be writing my check to. The Lord smote my heart. 19 years old, and I've never missed since. Never. And the Lord has blessed and prospered and given. And I'll say this. I know I need to quit. When we moved here, if we hadn't sold our house back east, if it wasn't because of COVID, you can say it's a coincidence. You can say it all you want. But selling our house double what we paid for and assuming a loan at 2.5%, I'll brag on faith promise giving as a blessing book all day long. Amen. Because God has been good. And you can see it however you want to see it. But we see blessings in so many different ways. All right, folks, thank you so much for being here tonight. Go ahead, missionary, why don't you go ahead and make your way back to the table real quick so you get a chance to greet folks as they come out, get a chance to talk to them for a few moments. And please don't run off. If you have time, please greet with them. You'll see them again each night, of course. And then just to remind you, on Sunday night after the evening service, we're going to have a time of fellowship. For those of you who have time, we're going over to the fellowship hall. There's going to be some food left over. There's going to be desserts left over. We're just going to have a time of fellowship, put on some coffee, and fellowship with the missionaries before they have to leave on Monday morning. So you remember that for Sunday night after the evening service. All right, let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the word. Thank you for how much you love us, that you give us so much, but you ask so little of us. Thank you for your provisions. Thank you for my church family. Father, thank you for the people of Harvest Baptist Church. I love them so much. I'm so honored to be called their pastor. And I pray that you bless them, meet their needs. Lord, be a bless. Help us to be a blessing to our missionary friends tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And as always, God loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can be helped you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. You're dismissed.